Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest giveth and JetBlue taketh away. Only the free blue tortilla chips are left because the free bags are going away.
At 3:20, we have the latest update from Sacramento International Airport. Need to grab something to eat before your Thanksgiving flight? Well, we have an update on options. Also, very important updates on parking and pickups at the airport.
You say you're picking someone up at the airport? No, not that kind of pickup. If you live in Milwaukee and you go hunting or ice fishing, your wife will be left with one option.
What would that be?
The Deer Hunter's Widow Weekend. Sound like fun? We thought so, and we'll tell you all about it at 3:35.
At 3:45, we introduce you to two people who are creating a TV show. Let's go behind the scenes of American Travelers to learn how a unique television production is created.
It's Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., and you're about to become a much smarter traveler. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Can you believe it's time for another edition of The Travel Guys here on KFBK? Welcome, everyone. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman, and we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Welcome, Mark. It's a beautiful Sunday. We've had rain. Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
I know. It's, not, it's people, something so simple.
I know. People in a lot of cities don't get, especially like in Buffalo, they don't get excited about weather. But here, we're so desperate. It seems like they ought to be able to build... Forget the Keystone Pipeline, Tom. We ought to build the snow pipeline and just put a big wind tunnel behind that sucker and blow it all out to California.
Boy, I'll tell you, I know the East Coast would love to be able to give some of it up to the West Coast. Speaking of East Coast and all, where have your travels taken you since we were on the radio last week ago?
Well, I spent a good part of this past week in Key West, Florida. Putting together Sports Leisure Vacations has been taking a tour to Key West every January for the last 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. And it's one of our most popular trips. It sells out every year in July or August. This year's tour is completely sold out. And so we're just always looking for ways to make it new and exciting. We've added a thing called a Taste of Key West this year where folks will get to eat conch fritters, and which is a fish, and be able to have a sample of a Cuban sandwich. Mm-hmm. Key West is only 75 miles from Cuba. Try some key lime pie, maybe go into a kitchen and watch a key lime pie made. So it's kind of some fun things. You know, the food thing is really a big deal. We have the folks from Milwaukee on with us today to talk about what they do with food tours in Milwaukee and food tours all over the place, so we decided in Key West we would add that. One thing about Key West, though, Tom, I will just tell you that sleepy little island town is kind of making some dramatic changes. Hotel prices are going up pretty dramatically. They're building a couple of new hotels, and the little sleepiness of Key West is definitely changing. It's on its way to being a world-class resort. You could probably argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. The people who live there are lamenting the fact that their rents are going up, but then again, maybe their income is going up also.
Well, over the decades, a lot of resorts or a lot of places that we knew as those sleepy little towns, take Kona, Hawaii, for example. You know, it's difficult to control it. It's difficult to hold it back. Look, one of the things we always like to do when you get back from some of your excursions is kind of educate folks in regards to what did Mark learn on the road? You got anything to share with us this time around?
What did Mark learn on the road? Mark learned on the road that if you're flying to Florida and you have a choice, always fly into Fort Lauderdale, never fly into Miami. Fort Lauderdale is a much easier airport to get in and out of. So that's really an important travel tip. If you don't have a reason to have to fly into Miami, fly into Fort Lauderdale. The other thing about Key West is that, you know, it's about a 3-hour drive down from Miami on the Intercoastal Highway there. So what some people choose, like on our tour, we take people down one way on the motor coach, and then we fly out of Key West after a 4-night stay. I think the most important thing about Key West, Tom, if you're going there, is allow yourself plenty of time. Lots of folks go on a cruise ship and they get off and they spend 4 hours in Key West and they go home and tell their friends they went to Key West. And I guess technically they're right. But there's a lot of wonderful things to do there. And there's nightlife in Key West every single night. There are drag shows on the almost every night in Key West. And on the other end of the street, you can get as drunk as you want. So there's plenty of stuff to do. There's lots of upscale shopping and stuff. It's a great place to visit, but it is getting more expensive almost by the day because hotel rates in Key West are now higher on the average than they are in downtown Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's so visit soon. It will save you money if you visit Key West soon. And off to I'm off to New York for Thanksgiving with a sports leisure tour group.
Yeah, I was going to say it's about that time of the year. You guys go for and you see the Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Macy's Day Parade.
They're going to see Disney's Aladdin on Broadway, and they're going to see the Radio City Music Hall. They're going over there to see the Rockettes' Christmas show, which is really spectacular. And then we have Thanksgiving dinner out on the harbor there in New York Harbor. We sail past the Statue of Liberty. And so
I have to ask, everybody's watching the news and they see what the weather is like in New York. And honestly, it's almost like I don't think you can get there from here.
New York and New York are two different places. New York City is on the entire east side of the state, and Buffalo, what you're referring to, is on the entire west side of the state, right next to a great big section of the Great Lakes there, so they get a lot of lake effect snow, which is happening to them. New York City does not get lake effect snow, so they haven't had any snow. They have already had one shot of cold weather, and we're going to get another shot next week. Not unbearably cold, but it'll be in the 40s back there next week. So you have to kind of button up if you're going to New York in November, but it'll be an exciting trip, something that we do every year. So if you're thinking, wow, I'd like to do one of those things, why, you could. We go to New York City over Thanksgiving every year and Key West every January.
If you just stumbled onto this program, we are the Travel Guys. I'm Tom. He's Mark, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And every program about this time, we knock out the travel news here on KFDK. So with that being said, Mark, what do you got for us in our travel news for today?
Well, buddy, we told folks a few weeks ago that it was in our estimation that there were about to be some changes at JetBlue. They were making some changes at the top, and we suspected that some of their customer-friendly policies were about to go away. And this week, the axe fell. Mm-hmm. JetBlue is putting its best flyer-friendly perks to death. One by one, it's going to put more seats on its airplane. It's going to take away the free checked bag that we all know and love, those of us who like to fly on JetBlue. They are going to do a version of what American Airlines has done. They're going to create three levels of fares. The first fare will be the lowest, and it won't allow you any checked baggage or any extra legroom, and then you can kind of go up the chart. So JetBlue, unfortunately, has figured out that nickeling and diming its customers is a better way to make money than what one of their competitors has decided. And literally the following day, Southwest Airlines came out taking advantage of JetBlue's announcement that it planned to impose fees for checked bags and reduce legroom and coach. Southwest has come out and said, look, we are America's low-fare airline. We don't charge for baggage. You can bring two free bags on a Southwest plane, and that's the way it's going to stay.
That's awesome. By the way, the CEO with JetBlue who said, you know, I'm not for this, has he still got a job?
No, he does, but, you know, it's interesting to say, Tom, that he is leaving in February, and he made that announcement about a month ago that he was going to leave, so there's no coincidence here that the customer-friendly policies that he so supported, now that he's leaving, they've decided that they're going to go for the big box on the display floor. They want the money as opposed to and you know, it will be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see if JetBlue suffers any defection of their customers, especially to Southwest. Southwest says that they're expecting that will happen, and they're ready for it. So if you fly on JetBlue, the good news is there's an extra flight to Long Beach that wasn't on the schedule until just a few weeks ago. The bad news is that coming in 2015, you're going to have to start probably paying in some way, shape, or form for that free bag that you had. All right, moving on in the travel news here. San Francisco has joined Portland in making Airbnb collect hotel tax. That was something we talked about earlier this year on the Travel Guys about how Airbnb was not collecting lodging taxes, which was kind of unfair to the hotels. So that system and to revenues for the community counties that they were in. So that has been changed now. San Francisco has joined Portland. Cities are falling in one at a time in making Airbnb collect and then pay that tax. Tom, did you know there are a bunch of travel sales on Cyber Monday?
Well, I could imagine that there would be. Why
well,
not? Everybody else has got sales. They'd be missing the boat if they didn't. What do you know?
I confess that I didn't know this, but a bunch of travel agencies, some of the major tour companies on the planet and stuff like that are offering some selected deals on Cyber Monday. So listen to the travel guys next Sunday, and we'll try to come up with a list of some of those good deals. We'll have Gwen Duncan on with us, and we'll talk about some of those Cyber Monday deals. All right, here's a story about a man who was flying on Singapore Airlines. He logged on to the airline's Wi-Fi, figuring that, you know, he could get his work done and it would cost him a few dollars. He fell asleep. And when he woke up and got off the airplane and got his credit card bill, he was charged $1,171 for in-flight Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Yeah, he says, you know, he saw the pricing per megabyte was disclosed on the sign-up, and he bought the $30 package, but and he fell asleep and downloaded some things. And
my
goodness. Yeah, so there's the moral to that story is if it's unlimited, don't try something that might cost you a lot of money. Finally, in airline news, Delta SkyMiles devaluations are coming again. Starting the 1st of January, if you have an award ticket from Delta, you used to be able to have a free stopover. You'll no longer be able to do that. You could have flown, for example, to Atlanta and then stopped in San Antonio on the way home. Now, if you do that, it's going to cost you an extra award ticket. So just one more little thing that the airline, that an airline has figured out to do to take away a little advantage from the consumer. And Thomas, that sadly is the end of the travel news for today.
Well, okay, let's board that big old jet airliner and check in with our friends at Sacramento Metropolitan or International Airport, should I say, and get updated here right after this break here on the Travel Guys.
Riding along on this big old jet
I expect plane. The produce I buy.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's time to get leaving on those jet planes. Our special guest again from the Sacramento Metropolitan Airport is Communication and Media Officer for the Sac County Department of Airports, is Lori Slothauer. Lori, thank you so much for joining us here in studio. Mark, Lori just wandered in, and she was did not have a suitcase like you normally do when you show up.
I'm guessing, great music there, because I'm guessing bags are packed and you're ready to roll is kind of something that's a lot of people around Sacramento, heck, a lot of people around the country are getting ready to roll. And with the first Arctic blast having come in from the east already, now we're all sitting around, those of us in warm weather destinations, wondering if we can get to our cold weather destinations when the time comes for the holidays. So we are here with Lori to make you a smarter traveler. Many of you are going to head to the airport in the next few days, I'm certain. You're either going to go pick somebody up, or you're going to drop somebody off, or you're leaving on a jet plane yourself. And maybe at this time of the year, you're a person who only travels occasionally, so you're not up to speed on what's going on out there. So we're going to, Lori and I and Thomas are going to tell you all about the things that you need to know about the airport, and from what to eat to where to park to everything. Lori, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
I'm happy to be here, Mark.
So, Lori, let's start with what's most important. People get to the airport. And, you know, airplanes don't serve a lot of food now, and the food they do serve is limited. And we have a lot of Southwest service from Sacramento, and there's, you know, that's a peanut plane. So particularly for folks who, like me, who fly a lot of United, we're in Terminal A. Over there, the food facilities kind of went away, and now a few places have come back. They look kind of temporary. Tell our listeners who might be headed out to the airport over Thanksgiving and might want to get a little nosh before they get on the airplane, what's the food situation over there in Terminal B? Well, Terminal A, excuse me.
Terminal A. Mark, as you pointed out, the restaurants that are there, by and large, are temporary, except for Vino Volo. That's been with us a while. It's going to continue to be here. What you're seeing are placeholder restaurants. We're doing some really exciting work in Terminal A. Unfortunately, going to have a little wait. We're not just adding in some new restaurants, which I can, you know, describe for you, but we're also completely reconfiguring and remodeling the food court area of Terminal A to give travelers more of the kind of experience that they have in Terminal B, including local only in Sacramento restaurants, including a more modern seating that will take advantage of viewscapes and views of the runway.
Now, Lori, that's something you did in Terminal B. I'm guessing with success, if that's what you're going to copy, and that is bringing in restaurants that are not chain restaurants. In fact, that's intentionally you've run the chain restaurants out so that local restaurants can be represented, so that people who are from Sacramento will see something they're familiar with, and people from out of town might have a chance to engage in a local specialty or two.
Absolutely. To give people a sense of Sacramento and a taste of Sacramento. That's the customer experience we're looking to bring to Terminal A.
When I travel, I try to get there early so I can have a really good breakfast at one of the restaurants there, particularly at Esquire Grill.
And Urban Jack's serves a wonderful salad. And we should tell our listeners who are infrequent travelers, as we sit here in our lingo and say Terminal A, Terminal B, if you're flying on Southwest, Alaska, American, Hawaiian, or our two international carriers, Volaris or Aeromexico, you're going out of Terminal B. So the new terminal holds Southwest, American, Alaska, Hawaiian, and the two international carriers. And the older terminal, which isn't frankly that old, but the older terminal, which is Terminal A, holds United, U.S. Airways, JetBlue, and
Delta.
So, and it is the Terminal A with the more legacy carriers, which is right now undergoing such a change in the food establishments. You're putting all of these folks in. You said some of them are temporary placeholders. Explain what's going to happen.
Well, sometime spring, summer of 2015, we will have five new restaurants in Terminal A. Three of them are local. We have arrangements with the Squeeze Inn and Paisanos to open up airport-sized versions of their street-side restaurants. And we are working with the family that owns Cafeteria 15L on a brand-new restaurant. We don't even know the name of it, but we expect to be announcing that sometime next year.
Wow, Tom, people flying in and out of our airport will be able to experience the cheese skirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
And if you want more of the salad side of the house, two restaurants that are offered by SSP, the concessionaire that is doing this remodel, one of those is Freshy, and the other is Urban Crave. Those are, again, very specific to SSP. You can see them at other airlines, Vino Volo and Pete's Coffee and Tea. Pete's semi-local, Bay Area, remain.
Do they have a timeline on when the completion of all of this might be?
Well, what
end of next year?
We're thinking summer of 2015, they should all be open, and we'll be having some kind of event to commemorate this. Also, downstairs, Starbucks is going to be moving into the area that used to be Sbarro and Cinnabon, so there'll be a larger facility for people to get a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Let's talk for a minute about the parking situation and remind people. The economy lot isn't as big as it used to. If you're used to going out and parking on the economy lot in the dirt or whatever, a lot of that doesn't exist anymore. So if you're going out there and you're not getting Sunday or Monday, you're going to have, if you're not leaving today or tomorrow, you're probably going to have to park somewhere else. Lori, tell them about what the parking options are at the airport.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. The economy lot, we're seeing more customer traffic this year. We're up about a 1.7% over last year, and we expect customer traffic to be even more in November and December. So the economy lot is very, very popular. We know it's going to close before Thanksgiving sometime that week. We know it's going to close sometime before Christmas, but we don't know when. So we're encouraging customers to have a plan B and to be familiar with the parking options. You can tell if the economy lot is full as you come in. There's information on the overhead signs, and there's a flashing roadway sign. My advice is stay on Airport Boulevard. Look for the signs to daily parking. Stay to the right. Stay to the right, and you'll be all right, because that's where the daily lot is and the parking garage. If you want covered parking, that's available at the garage.
Well, and that's the paved lot there, as we were talking before we went on
the air. We call it the daily lot, but yeah.
It is the best deal in the airport. It's only $2 more than the economy lot, and you've got a paved lot. The shuttle buses run more frequently, and you can even walk into the terminal if you want.
There's a walking path from just outside the lot to through the parking garage. There are shuttles every 10 minutes as opposed to every 20 minutes at the economy lot. I think it's the best deal in parking at the airport and probably many airports.
It is where I've parked and have parked for a long time. And then, of course, if you want the covered garage, you want to be up close, it's there. What about folks who are meeting people, Lori? Because the sheriff's officers and the security are pretty tough about running people off. They don't want people pulling up and sitting there waiting for people. If you're going to the airport to pick someone up, what should you do?
Well, Mark, you're absolutely right. FAA security regulations prohibit waiting at the curb unless the person you're picking up is, like, really literally within eyesight, like a few feet. So the free waiting area that some people call the cell phone lot, it's just at Crossfield and Lindbergh Drives. Plenty of parking there, and you can stay for up to 3 hours. I don't know why you'd want to, but as long as you're in your car, you can stay for up to 3 hours and wait till your friend calls you and then go pick them up. The other thing I advise people is if you're being picked up or you're communicating with a driver, pick a numbered door to stand next to. 1, 2, 3, 4 are the numbers. And we get most of the traffic on the 1 and 2 sides of Terminal B. That's because that's where Southwest is. It's also the first, pick up people curb that you come to. If you want to mix it up, tell your driver to pick you up at door 3 or door 4. There's a little less traffic there. You have to go around Airport Boulevard, around that curve.
And Lori,
but that's a great tip, Lori, because when the Southwest side is full like that, it's a lot easier to go around to the other side. There's generally not as many people over there or no one. And there's no, especially if you had a lot of luggage to lug out to the car, you didn't want to lug it through a couple lanes of traffic. That's a terrific idea. Tom?
I think a lot of times people will, because Southwest's luggage pickup is on that side, they have a tendency to go out that door rather than walk across to the other side. But it's true. I always tell my pickups to go to the second set of doors. What would that be, 3 and 4?
3 and 4. And if you want to know the most recent information on flight arrivals and departures, go to our website, www.smf.aero, A-E-R-O, or check the airline website. And that'll give you some information about when the plane is supposed to land or supposed to arrive.
Lori, during the holidays, what advice would you give folks on how soon before their flight they should arrive?
Well, we're a pretty easy airport to get in and out of, and we don't have a lot of the traffic that you get when you cross the Bay Bridge or go to other airports. But for this time of year, we recommend a couple of hours. Most airlines recommend an hour and a half for domestic flights, all things being equal. And that's plenty of time, all things being equal. But this is the time of year people are stressed and they may not fly a whole lot. It's like, do yourself a favor and get there a little early so you won't feel stressed about it.
Lori, some really great advice that you've given our listeners. You are going to make them smarter travelers at the airport. AAA says a record number of people are hitting the skies over Thanksgiving this year. So we'll be back to talk about it in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Lori, again for checking in with us.
Happy to be here.
Once again, our guest, Lori Slothauer, Communications and Media Officer for the Sacramento County Department of Airports. And we'll be having Lori on every other week all the way up to Christmas time. Lori, thanks again.
You bet.
The Deer Hunter's Widow Weekend. Sound like fun? We're going to tell you all about it. It sounds like fun. After the news, we're the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 o'clock, right here on KFBK. Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we've become the travel show for basically what we refer to as food tours. And we have a special guest on the program today, all the way from Milwaukee, where Mark was recently, Teresa Nimitz with Milwaukee's Food and City Tours. Welcome to the show there, Teresa.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Tom, it was just revealed before we started the interview here that I missed meeting Teresa in person, literally by a United Baggage claim. a story that we won't go into on the air, but nonetheless, when I was in Milwaukee last week, Teresa was actually hosting the group that I was supposed to be with on Thursday night for dinner, but because I was out at the airport, I wasn't with her. So no. She sent out this wonderful email follow-up this week to the tour operators that were there, and immediately I latched onto something that I had never seen before, because besides having wonderful tours of the city and stuff that Teresa will tell us about in a minute, the thing that caught my eye, remember she's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin now,
okay,
was the Deer Hunter Widows Weekend.
Boy, there's a mouthful. What is that? What in the world is that?
Well, what happens is that in Wisconsin, of course, we have some great hunters out here. And so traditionally what happens is that that first weekend when all the hunters take to the woods, all their spouses actually hit the mall to do Christmas shopping. And so a few years ago, we noticed that, you know what, it was a really popular weekend for people to come on our tours, but it was all women in attendance. And we started talking and discovered that, you know what, they were going out on tours because their husbands or their spouses were out hunting.
Brilliant.
And so as a result, now we offer Deer Hunter Widows Weekend, and we just have a lot of different tours for women to take.
Yeah, what do the ladies do on the Deer Hunter Widow Weekend?
Well, some of our popular tours, we've got a Bloody Mary brunch tour, and so we spend our Sunday morning visiting a couple different restaurants and having some Bloody Marys and some brunch items. We also have our pizza bus, where we visit some historic pizzerias. We have a historic bar tour, where we go to some pre-Prohibition bars. But then coming into the holiday season, something that we have definitely seen as very popular is our Christmas Around Milwaukee Bakery Bus Tour. It's a super fast-paced tour. We visit 8 bakeries in 3 hours for shopping and for treats and eating treats and bakery items. And
Tom, I got to tell you, I figured this out here. What Teresa's racket is she takes people out and just stuffs them with food and gets them all drunk. And I mean, this is a.
People out and taking them around town to eat great food. We focus
the
more
cold
on the
in
food.
Milwaukee is a lot easier to tolerate, I'm guessing, with with some good food and a little libation.
You bet. You know, Teresa, Mark, and with his company, he has to go and scout out different places to take them, you know, and which means that he's got to go to Hawaii and places and, you know, he has to enjoy himself. Now, you must have to scout out all of these eateries, and then you have to taste all the food and try it all. Boy, I really feel bad for you.
Absolutely. Actually, last weekend was one of my scouting weekends.
Oh, boy.
In which I was visiting a whole new set of bakeries for our Christmas tours.
Oh,
so I did have a couple of our tour guides comments that I have a very lucky job in that.
I hope you have a treadmill at home.
So, Teresa, it sounds like these tours are popular with local people, that you market them to local folks.
Yeah, we actually do. We do our public tours, and I would say about half of the people that are coming on their tours, they are locals, and they're looking for just a great way to see their own town and learn a little bit more history about Milwaukee.
I see two more here, Christmas Lights and Dessert Tour.
Yeah.
And that sounds like right up your alley there, Mark. And then Churches and Chocolates Tour.
Yeah, with our Christmas series, we're really excited. I actually have professionally trained singers that are going to be leading those tours, and are doing Christmas caroling through the city.
Man.
So anytime you guys are coming back to Milwaukee, you're welcome to come on a tour.
And you know, Tom, I got to just tell you, having spent 48 hours in Milwaukee the end of last week, it really is a very nice town. I mean, it's a little further north than I'm going to live, but Milwaukee is a beautiful city. It's only 60 miles from Chicago. And I just think that Teresa has some wonderful stuff here. These food tours are becoming popular all over the country. Some locales have more to sell than others. In Sacramento, we do a big farm. They have because we have so much agriculture here, farm to fork is very popular here. In Milwaukee, they have a lot of beer. So it's good to see that Teresa has inserted that into her tours. And take them out to the bakery, you know, and then have brunch and then get them some beer.
Absolutely. We just love to take people around, show them what they may not have even realized that they had in their own Milwaukee. And it's a really great thing that we started, honestly, as a hobby. And it just turned out that everyone loves food. And so it's really grown into a full-time business for us.
What's the one stop, Teresa, that people just really go gaga about on your trips?
Oh, goodness.
The most favorite stop in Milwaukee.
The most favorite stop. You know, each of our tours kind of has a different favorite stop. I would say that one of our favorite things that people love going to is there's a Italian bakery called Canfora Bakery that we love to go to and just go crazy buying some great Italian bakery items. So that's really popular. And then on our pizza bus, we actually go to the original pizzeria ever licensed in the state of Wisconsin. And people don't even realize that that still is in existence and still open. And so people love, love going there as well.
Well, I'll tell you, I love your website, and I know our listeners will, too. You can go to travelguysradio.com. We got a link there to the Milwaukee Food Tours .com website and click around on it. I mean, there is just so many really cool tours.
Yeah, if you're headed to Milwaukee sometime soon, or if you're headed to Chicago, like I said, Milwaukee's an hour away. And this, Teresa, anybody who has a Deer Hunter's Widow weekend is creative enough in my book to be worth a look. So thank you for joining us a little bit on the Travel Guys. If you're headed to Milwaukee soon, as Tom said, go to travelguysradio.com and you'll see the link to Milwaukee food and city tours, and you will have yourself a great time. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, you know, Mark, here in California, or better yet, here in Sacramento, it would either be the deer hunters, duck hunters, pheasant hunters, quail hunters, dove hunters, widows weekend.
Thomas, yes. I think what this is an excuse is for the ladies to go out together in a pack and party a little bit. It's mostly eating like that.
Amen. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And speaking of Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark, you got us a winner for this week.
I do. Every week we give away a $50 travel card to a lucky Sports Leisure traveler. And if you hear your name on the radio, call our office Monday or Tuesday. We double it to $100. This week's winner went with us to Laughlin in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and she's been a Sports Leisure traveler for many, many years. So Molly Granrud is our winner for this weekend. Molly, if you give us a call, we will double your $50 travel card to $100. If you know Molly, make sure you call her and tell her that you heard her name on the radio. Hey, Thomas, you know, we used to tell folks that the best time to, studies showed the best time to buy an airline ticket was Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, because by that time, any sales that were going to happen would be established and they would all be in the computer system, and hypothetically, sale tickets wouldn't all be gone.
I have it in my reminder.
There's a new drill down by a group called ARC, which is the Airline Reporting Commission. They're the people that all the travel agents send all their ticketing information to every week to get processed, you know, to pay up and get their whatever back they have coming back, things like that. And it's just, it's a system to put it through. ARC looked at air ticket purchases between January 2013 and July of this year, year and a half, and saw that travelers purchased the least expensive airfares approximately 8 weeks before they traveled. That's kind of interesting. And that people who bought their tickets on Sundays during that 18-month window paid less than any other time period. And that's kind of weird, because in the old days they told us that Sundays wasn't a good time to buy, a weekend wasn't a good time to buy air tickets, because the airlines knew that people had a lot of time to shop on the weekends and they just kind of left the fares up there. And so apparently now at least one, and I would put a lot of value in this study, because these are the people who get all the tickets. They know when they're sold. They know how much money they cost. So there's no, you can't. Their numbers and their statistics are going to be true. So anyways, think about it. I would tell you that Tuesday afternoon, and now these guys will tell you Sunday. So
we are the Travel Guys, and coming up, we're going to be visiting with a couple of friends of ours, that Dave and Kerry Losko.
This is going to be fun. Yeah, this is really going to be fun.
They've got they're working on a TV pilot. It's called American Traveler, and you're going to enjoy this. It's coming up next here on the Travel Guys. You're tuned to the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. Welcome. As you probably heard us promote earlier, we've got special guests in the studio here who are, you know, right up our alley, Mark. They're going to make a living out of traveling, and that's kind of like what you do with a brand new television series that they're developing called, of course, American Travelers. And with us today on the program is Dave and Kerry Losko. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, nice to be here.
Let's begin by telling us a little bit about how this American Travelers idea came to fruition.
Well, both of us are travelers, and at one point we were traveling, and I've been in the entertainment business for a long time, and I said, you know, why don't we make a show out of this? Because we enjoy sharing our experience with people. And we start running into people, and they were saying, well, if I knew that, I would have went here and I would have went there instead of going to a certain place. So as we were filming for stock footage, I had started filming for stock footage and putting it on a couple websites for sale. And I said, well, why don't we make a show out of this instead of just doing stock footage?
I said, great idea.
What did you encounter as the developing this project, the most difficult part?
The most difficult part, well, first of all, you have to get location releases and talent releases from people you talk to. And sometimes they're a little hesitant to do that, but we haven't run across a ton of that. Also, concepting the show, we started in one direction, and then our show will show you a behind-the-scenes aspect of how we're doing the show. There's only two of us, so we have no camera crew, we have no audio person, no lighting person. It's just the two of us. So that presents a little bit of a challenge in making sure that we get the footage we need and make sure everything is working correctly.
We're just real people, just like anyone else wanting to travel and you know, giving our experience, booking the trips.
So it's things that you could do once you get to a destination. We picked some of the popular ones so that this is what you might expect. This is what you see on the travel websites. And then we go experience those trips, and we kind of show the traveler what they might expect. But also we look for out-of-the-way type trips and out-of-the-way experiences while you're there and how you could do this on a budget. Sometimes people want to go, oh, yeah, I just can't afford that.
Yeah, Costa Rica was a great example of that. You know, we found an amazing deal down there, and then really there's so many things you can do that are not typical, like a resort kind of typical vacation. There's a lot of trekking all over that country and seeing, you know, different spots.
This is more than just a dream at this point. I mean, you have put 7 episodes somewhat in the can. You've gone out and invested a lot of your own money. Correct?
Correct, yes. 7. We have a total of 15, actually, but I'm pushing 7 of them.
And now the goal is to perhaps try to get some assistance in some way, shape, or form with the additional production costs with these, and you're presenting it to a television studio, a network at somewhere along the way.
Correct.
Explain that process a little bit. Most of the people listening, I'm sure, have never had an experience like that. So kind of take us through from where you would, if you can, the Reader's Digest condensed version of where you would go from here if you were to get on the air someplace.
Okay. First of all, a little bit about my career. I'm a sound mixer for television business for 30 years. I've been working for other production companies. Most television shows are not produced directly by the networks. They are produced by independent production companies. And those are the companies that have hired me over the years. So my experience in putting the show together is a combination of watching and learning by watching for all these years. So being a camera person, a director, an audio person, a lighting person, is all of my experiences from 30 years of doing this. So the next step is there's several ways. The most common ways to sell a show is to do what they call a sizzle reel. And there's a million people out there doing that. So my experience is if you have show assets, so if the shows are already produced, they may not exactly want the show as it sits, but they will have you change some things in that show. So our goal here is to raise some funding. We've spent thousands of dollars filming these locations, in not only in equipment, but also in travel costs. And of course, we're having a lot of fun when we do this. Anyway, what happens is there's crowdfunding sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter and GoFundMe. So we need to edit all these episodes for a 22-minute episode, which is a half-hour time slot on television. It takes anywhere from 80 to 150 hours of editing, depending on how complicated your edits are. So we're asking $7,000 per episode for editing. So we're on the Indiegogo campaign if you look for American Travelers. We're also on Facebook, American Travelers, if you just search for American Travelers, and there's a link on American Travelers that goes to our Indiegogo page. We're looking for funding. What happens is once I have 7 episodes, I will hire a entertainment attorney, which we have a copyright attorney already, which does not shop for us. He is our contract attorney. But I will hire an attorney to shop, or an agent. Sometimes they're a combination person. And they will shop to the networks. I have contacts at several of the networks already. For example, a Travel Channel. A lot of channels are owned, just like radio stations, they're owned by certain companies. Like A&E owns a group of TV channels, and Scripps owns a lot of different channels. Mm-hmm. So basically, we will shop to those once we're totally produced and with expectations that they'll want to change some things. Certain trends, as you know, happen, and certain channels will not even be interested because they're all geared towards male entertainment.
And how long does all this process take you?
Oh, it takes years. We've been filming for 3 years so far. We plan on having it ready, the 7 episodes finished. Our Indiegogo campaign ends at the end of the year, and then it's time to get to work and get these edited. So I plan to have them ready for to present to the networks in the summer, and with plans to air in the fall.
Wow, that's quite a mouthful to bite off.
Now, you've been out on the road, and you've gone to a lot of these places. You know, it's going to be a while before people see these on TV. So tell us about one of your adventures and something that maybe either turned out better than you expected or differently than you expected.
I'm going to have Carrie talk about our climbing a volcano in the island of Nevis.
Oh, yeah, that was great. We had a guide that took us up to the top of a volcano. And
he was a triathlete.
Triathlete.
So he was in his 30s, yeah. And very fit.
And we're pretty fit, but it took a little effort to get up this hill. It was a lot of climbing with, putting our gear on our back and climbing up these vines.
Right. See, everywhere we go, we carry our own gear. So we have 2 backpacks and a tripod case. And we have 3 cameras, a GoPro, a small camera, and then a Canon larger DSLR. Yeah.
He was nice enough to carry one of our cameras and then actually film us as we are climbing up through these vines.
Right, and we're talking mud. We're talking vertical mud climbing vines.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a lot more than I thought, but we were up for the challenge. And plus, we knew the views up at the top were going to be just amazing, and they were. So we peek out, we get to the top, he films our reaction to this beautiful view, and then we had a short amount of time to get back down to meet our next guide for snorkeling. So that was a challenge, but actually going down was a little quicker.
Carrie, has there been one place that you've gone to where you were really hoping for something spectacular and it turned out to be something different?
Well, you know, I'd have to say that every single place I have gone in with child-like eyes, you know, and there's nothing that I've been disappointed with. I mean, I just see some beauty in just about every place we've been.
The only thing I could say that might have been disappointing was in Puerto Rico. I think our cab driver, most of these cab drivers in these other countries, you take a risk getting in there. They drive absolutely crazy. And I'm looking at the speedometer on this van we're in, and first of all, you're hearing all this rattling noise, and the speedometer is pretty high up there in speed, I think like 90 miles an hour, and you're like looking and you're seeing like all the lights on, like this truck needs service and all that stuff, and you know that this truck isn't serviced, and you could tell by the brakes are squeaking, mm-hmm. and there's some rattles like coming from the wheels.
Yeah.
So, and then the other trip we had was Dominican Republic. We a communication barrier, having good communication is key. We were supposed to take a bus, 3.5-hour bus trip to our destination. Turned out we got on a public bus, and at the airport they said don't get on a public bus. We ended up one, and we had to sit on these little jump seats. Carrie's sitting next to a guy.
He's next to the driver,
and another guy had a Uzi in his hand.
They have kind of a makeshift military down there,
and it's very crazy. The people are like on the bus, like it's totally overpacked, and we're driving, and there's people on motorcycles carrying bread baskets and all their
Their bread truck consists of a bicycle and somebody with all the bread on top of their back.
So their roads are very narrow. So these people are almost getting hit daily. It was pretty insane.
That was, I tell you, that was one of my favorite trips because you really get to see how they live and it was great.
I was going to say, did you get all this on film?
Is this something we do? We do.
Is this the kind of stuff we're going to see on American Traveler?
Exactly. Yeah. I have a camera with me all the time, a small one. It has like a little floating lens in it. So I am constantly rolling. So we have it on that trip. When we got to our destination, it was night. So we get off and I'm trying to communicate with the driver. We need a taxi to get us because they're dropping us off in this little town in the middle of nowhere at 10:30 at night. And up shows, instead of a taxi, this little motorcycle with a rickshaw on the back. And that was our ride. Our luggage upside down.
They loaded us up.
And it's smoking. It's a two-cycle motorcycle. So it's smoking. And we're just like flying. I am laughing my ass off. Carrie is scared.
Tom, it kind of paints a visual picture, doesn't it?
There's no city lights there. So it's like we just disappeared into the dark.
We show up at this fancy hotel and there's a British couple up there, very sophisticated looking, and they are just laughing their ass off, and they're saying, excuse my language, but they're laughing, and they're going, where'd you come from? We said the airport, and they go, you came all the way on that motorcycle.
Yeah, 3-hour track. Yeah.
Well, you guys, look, if the folks want to find out more about American Travelers and perhaps be part of your, it's Indigo.
Indiegogo.
Mm-hmm. You can find a link at travelguysradio.com to find out more. And look, we'll look to have you back down the road a ways as you finally get close to getting it on the air, and then we'll follow you from there, okay?
Thank you very much.
That sounds great.
Once again, Dave and Carrie Alasco, it's the new TV series, hopefully soon. The show American Travelers, right here on News Radio KFBK. We are the Travel Guys.